My scripture reading today is just one verse from Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law of the prophets. My message this morning is entitled Rational Functionalism and Guerrilla Philanthropy. I'd like to start off, though, today considering something about hope. Hope is much more than just a wish. You see, a wish is to our spirits as vanilla ice cream with chocolate peanut butter cups in it are to our stomachs. It's wonderful to think about and even better to have. But on the other hand, hope rather than a wish, is to our spirits what oxygen is to our lungs. You see, your spirit begins to die when there is no hope. There's something simple that I like to do around Christmas time, and I've actually been doing for about 15 years, and that for me is something I do because it is about hope. Both bringing just a little bit of hope to someone else and reminding myself about what hope feels like. Now, every year what I do is I secretly head downtown with a pocket full of quarters and I feed expired parking meters. Now, I know it sounds like a completely silly thing to do, but those people who know me the best will tell you I am giving to doing very silly things. But think of the difference that it makes in the lives of those that thought that they may be returning back for a parking ticket only to see an extra hour on the meter. How fortunate, how hopeful they must have felt. I need to pause here and warn you. If you want to follow and do some of that as well, and you're thinking that this feeding parking meter sounds like a great idea, I just want to let you know that I have since found out it is illegal. No kidding. You're not supposed to be putting money in other people's parking meters. So I still do it. I found out 10 years ago. Just be careful if you're going to do it. Now, I started my Christmas ritual, as I said, more than 15 years ago. I can't take credit, though, for the idea of enlarging this and spreading hope throughout a community through a church. That stroke of brilliance came from someone whose name is Rena Garcia. She leads a busy life, but her favorite part of the day is when she gets to go out and do what she calls roke her world. That's roke. R-A-O-K. Like the little cards that you found in your bulletins as it's printed there. Random act of kindness. She says this, God puts people in our lives every day to touch. So many times we're too busy and we miss these opportunities. She also says that part of the fun is actually not sticking around to receive a thank you for what we do. For instance, she pulls up in a drive-thru and she tells the cashier that she'd like to pay for the person behind her. And all she does is hand one of these cards to the cashier and say, would you just give this to them and let them know that someone paid for their meal? There are no strings attached to this kind of kindness. I personally believe that a project like this one is much needed at this stage in our church life. It's not just us either. Churches across the U.S. need projects like this. Not just because they're good things to do, and they are good things to do, but because of the need to break free of the negative effects of rational functionalism and because of the benefits of guerrilla philanthropy. Now, let's deal with those two rather lengthy and wordy concepts one at a time. First, rational functionalism. I'm going to have to take a big breath here because I'm going to give you the actual definition of rational functionalism, so hold on. Rational functionalism is the tendency of denominations, their congregations, and their leaders to subscribe to a view of the church rooted in a restrictive, logic-bound theology that ignores the possibility of spiritual experiences and miraculous events while overemphasizing a functional practice disconnected from an emphasis on leading people to transforming experience of God. Got it? In other words, it's all head and no heart. Rational functionalism has turned spirituality, the church, into a mostly intellectual pursuit that focuses primarily on functions rather than relations. Overly rational, yet functional. Hence, rational functionalism. Now, the point here is not to throw out scholarship through the stained glass windows, but rather, the point is that with academic inquiry and scientific speculation, you have to be careful that they do not become the primary emphasis for forming spirituality. Without putting what we've learned through this scientific skepticism from this inquiry, without putting that into practice, our spiritual journeys become stagnant because it doesn't impact anyone's life other than our own. With spirituality practiced that way, the church becomes little more than a social society filled with well-meaning but spiritually self-focused people. Our overemphasis on the intellectual component of faith, without putting it more fully into practice, has blinded us to the fact that ultimately a complete and healthy spiritual life can only be learned, can only be fully understood in living it out, in practicing it in the world. And that is where guerrilla philanthropy comes in. Years upon years of the church and its membership focus on logical, imperial inquiry into spirituality has turned us all into religious geeks. Now, I myself am a self-proclaimed geek, so I don't take this in any negative way. I think geeks are cool, as a matter of fact. They just have this one problem. Over time, geeks tend to collapse in on themselves. They become so involved in the things that most intrigue them that the world outside of that particular endeavor effectively, at least for them, ceases to exist. Now, that is exactly what you want when you're looking for a computer geek to work on the mainframe at the office. That is exactly what you want with a neuroscience geek when you have to have brain surgery. They are so self-absorbed in their craft that the outside world will not distract them from the job that they need to do. And all that's fine, unless, of course, you're a geek of the Christian persuasion. And those of us who have become victims or have willingly given into rational functionalism are going to have to admit that we have become Christian geeks. We know a lot about God and spirituality. We are great people to talk to when you want to talk about that kind of stuff. But we are going to have to admit that we've fallen into a problem that our fellow geeks have. We have become so involved in the things that most intrigue us, thinking about spirituality, that the world outside of us and outside of that particular endeavor on some level has ceased to exist, or we have collapsed in on ourselves and forgot to pay attention to that, the rest of the world. Because of it, we don't actually like stepping outside of our comfort zones much. It has been so long since we've made a connection with someone different from us, someone that might have a vital need, that quite honestly, engaging with the world in that way sometimes makes us feel a bit uncomfortable. We become Christian introverts. And quite frankly, that's as oxymoronic as jumbo shrimp or pretty ugly or dry eyes. By definition, being Christian means being in the world to offer hope. In the end, the complete lesson of spirituality can only be learned, can only be fully understood in living it out, by practicing it. And that's where the beauty of guerrilla philanthropy comes in. Philanthropy is, of course, an activity which places others before yourself with the intention to promote their good and improve the quality of their life over an extended period of time. Now, guerrilla, as I'm using it here, is actually being borrowed from the phrase guerrilla warfare, in which a smaller group of combatants attempt to use its mobility to defeat a larger and consequently less mobile group. Guerrilla tactics are based on these three things: intelligence, the element of surprise and espionage. Kind of sounds like fun, doesn't it? So, given those definitions, my definition of guerrilla philanthropy is this. A small group of society, let's just say Church of the Covenant, a small group engaging in an activity of putting others first in an effort to promote the greater good through tactics based on intelligence, the element of surprise, and espionage. In short, guerrilla philanthropy is practicing random acts of kindness, or even shorter, it's roking the world. So, what if Church of the Covenant began spreading hope through random acts of kindness? What if we roped the world? Fed parking meters, paid for the person behind you in the drive-thru, made dinner for a family in need, or simply stopped to help someone change their tire. What we have here is an opportunity to actively practice hope. I feel very strongly that if we take on a project like this at our church, not just one of us, not just two of us, but all of us, I feel very strongly that not only will our church change, moving even further in our spiritual journeys, but that the world around us will necessarily experience spiritual growth as well. Or to put it all more simply, I believe this project will share hope with the world, which is vitally important, as I said in the beginning of the message. Without hope, the soul begins to die. Put simply, if we roke the world, everything will change for the better. Dream with me now. What if we begin doing random acts of kindness? From now on, what if our identity becomes that? Feeding parking meters, helping families in need. Do you think it would matter? I do. Do you think it would make a difference? I do. Do you think it would positively affect this church? I do. Do you think it would change the world? I kind of do. So, I challenge you. Each of you blanket the city with hope on a daily basis. Challenge yourselves to do one act of random kindness a day. Take no credit for it. Do it anonymously, leaving only this card behind. Take these cards and act out random acts of kindness. Roke the world. Leave a roll of quarters in the laundry room with a card taped to it. Feed an expired parking meter and leave the card tucked in. On an icy morning after you scrape your car, scrape your neighbor's and leave it under their windshield wiper. Be creative. Be intentional. Do it every day. Now, you're going to be able to find more of these cards right back here on the back table. I'm going to ask that for now you only take a few until I find out how many, a few at a time, until I find out how many I'm going to have to reorder. In the long run, after I get back from study leave, which I'm going to be going on this week, it's also going to be a place where you can share what you have done, how you roped the world, the random act of kindness you did. You can put it down. You can even share a story about it if you'd like. And that way, it's a place that other people can come back and read and see what ideas others had and maybe copy them or continuing doing that particular kind of gift to the world, bringing that kind of hope to people in this community. It's my dream, it's my hope, that every person in this spiritual community decides to take this seriously, decides to practice showing the world hope one small random act of kindness at a time. And if you do, well, God only knows what a difference it is.